Today, we are going on a quest. Yes, you heard me right. We're going on a quest. And the quest is very simple. Our quest is to find God. Yes, you may think it's ridiculous. God is everywhere. Why does it take effort to find God? But the reality, when we stop and think about it, is we don't always notice where God is, or we attribute him in the wrong places. And so our goal is to try and figure out where he's at, to get a sense of where he's at in our lives, and to be able to glorify him, and to recognize his presence at those moments. Now, we have two issues that we usually run into when we try and find God. One is when we find him. The two most difficult times to find God are when things are going really poorly, because we're so focused on the things that are going poorly, and also when things are going really well. Because when things are going really well, we misattribute all the good things to God when it might be not what he's actually trying to say to us. The other difficulty we're going to run into is we always assume God's going to be in this big grand thing, like what Elijah experienced on Mount Horeb, thunder and lightning and the earthquake and fire. But as Elijah realized, God was not in the lightning, he was not in the earthquake, he was not in the fire, he was in the whispering silence. I love that phrase, the whispering silence. Something that kind of borders between the ordinary and the extraordinary. But as we realize from today's readings, if we really want to find God, he's going to be in the ordinary. The standard things in life, the things we don't pay attention to. Look at our first reading today from the second book of Kings. So we have a Naaman, and we only got part of his story, so I'm going to fill in the rest of it. Naaman is from a far-off eastern country where he didn't know of Israel except the fact they went and conquered it just about 100 years prior. So he conquered it, and that's all they know of the land. Well, he is afflicted with leprosy, and they're trying to figure out what to do, and nothing's working. And then one of the slave girls, who was an Israelite, said, "I know a man of God in my land who could heal you." He's like, well, it's worth a shot. So he goes to the land of Israel, goes up to the king, and the king says, "No, it's not me. Don't come to me. This is a horrible thing." And then Elisha hears of this and summons him. So he comes to him and says, "Okay, this is what I want you to do. Go bathe in the River Jordan." And he says, "What? That's a disgusting river. Have you seen it? There is far cleaner water where I'm from. Why don't I go there?" And so he's mad and grumbling and walks away, and his servants all plead with him, "Just do what he says." So he does. Boring, ordinary, standard river of Israel became the source of his healing. And then it goes on even further. It doesn't end there. So after Naaman's healed, he comes back glorifying God and saying, "Truly, there is no other God but the God of Israel, and I want something in response. Can I offer sacrifice?" Elisha says, "No." "Well, then what can I do? Can I take 2 mule loads of dirt?" Think about that for a moment. He wants to take the dirt with him. How much more ordinary, mundane, and boring can you get than a bunch of dirt? Not a rock, not a tree, not something cool. No, dirt. That's the ordinary part of it. He takes the ordinariness of what was there, and something extraordinary is attached to it. The dirt reminds him of what has happened. He is now always and everywhere reminded of that one event where he encountered God. Let's look at our gospel for a moment. So in our gospel for today, we have Jesus walking through the land of Samaria, and 10 lepers come up to him. As we know, he tells them one thing: go show yourselves to the priest. It's actually kind of a boring statement. After all the things that Jesus has done, he spits in the dirt and makes mud and puts it on the guy's eyes and he's healed. He says words to them and they're healed. He tells, get up and walk, all these cool things. But not this time. This time he gives them the command, go show yourself to the priest. Which, if we know from the book of Leviticus, the laws are very clear. If someone has leprosy and they want to be declared clean, they go show themselves to the priest, and the priest can adjudicate whether the person is clean, cured from leprosy or not. Then there's rites that go along with offering sin offerings and whatnot. So this is a standard thing. He's following the laws perfectly. And as he's doing these ordinary things, following the laws, telling them to go show themselves to the priest, as they walk away, the ordinary act of walking, they realize they are clean. And then we have a strange event. Only one returns. The foreigner, the weird guy, the one that shouldn't know anything. He's the one that returns, glorifying God. What happened to the other 9? Did they realize that there's nothing special that happened, therefore they just do what Jesus said? Did they think that it wasn't God's work, that, you know, something else happened? Are they just doing what they're supposed to and going to the priest? We just got to kind of wonder about them. What was on their mind that they didn't come back? But nevertheless, it was the ordinary, the standard things, nothing very exciting. The same thing worked in our second reading today from the letter of St. Paul to Timothy. St. Paul is in prison. He's in chains. He's seeing his imminent death coming up, and he says, this is where God is right now. Right here in the prison cell with me, leading me on the path to being killed. That's just the way it is. And he makes that point very clear. That in what's about to happen, everyone will see God's work being worked out through him. So this is our great challenge, an incredible challenge. We need to find God in the ordinary, the normal, standard stuff that happens, the moments that God comes to encounter us. We don't have to look beyond for all these great things happening. They're already here. And so the main way we start to recognize God's presence here among us in the normal, ordinary things of life is, first of all, we have to reflect on them. You know, we kind of go through life just like everyone else. So, okay, one event's over, we're done, another event, done, moving on. Just like the other nine lepers. Okay, cool, I'm cleansed, I go on with life. I have nothing more I need to do. But the reality is, if we want to really notice God, we have to reflect backwards and find him. Where was he? Where were those pivotal moments in which the ordinary became extraordinary? And then as we start to recognize them, realize where they happen, we get used to God's patterns, how he comes to meet us, so that when the next time comes up, we're like, ah, there he is. Cool. God, here you are. I've recognized you. That is the point of it. And that's also why we read scripture so frequently, because here are the stories of a plentitude of people who have all experienced God and told the story of it. So we can see all the many ways that God has come to meet us. Because then once we've reflected on it, notice when he comes, our last act should be the same one as the leper, one of thanksgiving, one of glorifying God. And it was through that act that he was saved. And we don't get this sense in Greek, in English. It's really unfortunate. But the word there for saved doesn't just imply he was saved, done, end of discussion. It has a continual feel to it, that he was already saved and he'll continue to be saved all the way into the future. That's the sense of it. It's a pretty bold word, not one that's used very often. He is saved. Okay, so where does it leave us? So to really grant that idea of thanksgiving, to cultivate that in our lives, I have one little practice for you. You can use rosary beads, you can use fingers, we all have them, it works. List things that you are thankful for. I normally give as a penance when I want to do this 20 things, but I figure everyone can list 20 things. I was given as a penance 59, the whole rosary. It was a great exercise, I really, really liked it, because it really made me get specific. So it's not just like, thank you for being here, thank you for this, but thank you for these little tiny things, the things I might not have noticed. And to really go through that activity of so many different things to be thankful for, it made me realize the little things too. And so I highly encourage you, be people of thanksgiving by taking up this challenge and listing things you are thankful for. Because remember, our quest for today is to find God. We have to notice him. And he's going to be in the ordinary. Unless we're really blessed and he'll be in the extraordinary, or he really needs our attention, then he'll be in the extraordinary. But it's going to be the ordinary. And we have to reflect on it. Recognize those moments. Come to recognize how God interacts with us, and then return in a prayer of thanksgiving. Because it is in these ways that we truly encounter our God, come to realize his presence always alive and active around us.